Hello, everyone. This is the Parks Academy, where we discuss and celebrate all things theme parks related. We focus mainly on Disney parks and resorts in both Anaheim and Orlando. My name is Paige.
My name is Steven.
And today we are starting our series on defunct Disney attractions.
We certainly are. And it's funny because we were back a couple weeks ago and then we took a 2-week pause because of family stuff. And now we're back again.
And now we're back.
Now we're like maybe officially back, but I don't want to put out any more promises.
Yeah, well, we didn't make a promise last
time. No, we didn't. We just said we were back, and that could mean any number of things.
That's true.
I don't know. Are we going to continue on with this whole what are you excited about thing? Because I completely forgot that we were going to do that when I started recording, and I'm basically dropping it on you.
I was planning something.
Okay, great.
So here's a fun fact about Steven and I. When we stay in hotels, our guilty pleasure is watching TLC shows. Like, the trashier the better. We love it. We soak up some TLC. For some reason, we just never watch it at home. It just was not a thing we did. It was like when we were traveling, we just watched this random channel that we always had at home. But for some reason, it seemed more appealing in a hotel. So when Steven's family comes to visit, for some reason, we feel like we're in the same mode of like not at home by ourselves watching our normal stuff. So we watch TLC shows with them. And we have recently been diving into the world of Amy and Tammy on 1,000-Pound Sisters. And it is fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Amy and Tammy.
Yeah, we got a little Slayton sister fever.
Shout out to Amy and Tammy. We will most definitely mention you in this. Please listen to our podcast.
Oh my gosh, it's an interesting show.
I want to clarify, people, that this is twofold. One, I am not in any way making fun of these people. Like, this is genuine. I really do feel so sorry for them at the beginning of this show because we started it from the beginning. And they are working on the journey of getting gastric bypass. So they have to lose a certain amount of weight to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I am rooting for them all the way. So we are just now on season 2. And I love these people. I am so invested. Like, I want to be friends with them.
Yeah, we started watching it when we were in Maine last year, and we watched Tammy's wedding. It was kind of like season 5.
Yeah, it was like towards the end, season 4 maybe.
Yeah, so...
So now we've gone back to the beginning.
Yeah, back to the roots. That's funny. I did not think you were going to say that at all, actually.
Well, I'm excited about that. I'm also excited about the Orioles.
We went to a game today, and that was a lot. We went to a game for kids. It was like a kids game. We met JJ from Cocomelon was there.
We sure did.
That was all right. Nothing wrong with that.
Yep. Our kid loves YouTube. And what did we do? We stood in line to meet a ginormous fuzzy version of JJ.
Just terrifying. The weird thing to me about it, you know, is that obviously the big thing was that kids got free hats, which is fine. But when they showed off the two like marquee characters, it was JJ and from Cocomelon and also Red Power Ranger. So it was two like it didn't. I guess JJ's not obscure, but it just kind of felt like a strange sort of Venn diagram of characters who presented themselves at this thing. So
yeah, I feel like those costumes were nice enough and readily available.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, sure.
Because when we went to the Marvel night, it was like a knockoff Captain America costume.
It's true.
Like a knockoff Black Panther costume. But these costumes were legit. Like, they were pretty legit.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, it was definitely pretty cool.
What are you excited about, sir?
You know, I'm excited that we are coming up on there's a second season of Tales of the Jedi was announced, which I think is going to be pretty cool. And then also Acolyte, the next Star Wars TV show, is a big trailer dropped for that a few weeks ago. That's the Jude Law that kind of, you know, took place like well before the old Republican stuff, I think. So I'm excited about that. Obviously, since we haven't really been doing the show much and we haven't really been able to go to Disney in over a year at this point, some of my adjacency directly to Disney has been a little bit fraught. So it's really nice, you know, to kind of be getting back into it and to kind of be thinking a little bit more about, you know, what's going on in the world of Disney and Disney Plus. And but, you know, can we actually take a second, just a second, since I said Disney Plus, and talk about Disney Plus's new branding?
Yeah, you're mad.
I'm not mad about it. I just think it looks bad.
Yeah, you're mad from a graphic design standpoint.
Yeah, it's strange because it was nice, and then it went to this really weird kind of teal color, almost like a seafoam green teal. I don't think it looks very good.
With
and
a very
I would
early
love to
2000s
hear,
gradient, mind you.
Do you think that it has to do with like the blend of Hulu and Disney?
I feel like, and I have not seen anything about this, so there could very well be information out there about exactly why they changed the branding. I feel like too many smart TV apps are the same shade of blue.
Yeah, that's
so,
true. That's totally true.
The combination of this rebrand where Disney Plus and Hulu are one, and you've got like this blue and this green, and now we're making it this teal color. Mm-hmm. It also helps them to have a new color that stands out from all the other blue apps.
It actually changed. This is an article from Inc.com. It changed color to blend the green and the blue from Hulu and Disney.
There it is. See,
as
I just
one.
Said that.
Yeah. So you are dead on by that. So I just think it was very jarring to look at, but I can understand. I guess now I can kind of understand why it's that way.
Yeah, just weird. I cannot get behind the fact that when you log on to Disney Plus, you see like
everything
Deadpool
that's not, yeah.
And what was it called? Poor Things.
Poor Things.
Yeah.
Yep. That's on there.
Like,
The Bear. It's strange. It definitely feels a little bit out of character and out of place. But I mean, it also took me a while when Disney Plus was very first announced. And like Jeff Goldblum was one of the characters that you saw from his whatever TV show he did. So I guess it just takes some getting used to. I just think it's a strange sort of mixture of those two properties.
I also can't take credit for this because I saw it on the internet somewhere this week, but someone brought up the fact that they canceled the Lizzie McGuire reboot because it was too quote unquote mature for Disney Plus.
Interesting.
And now they've merged with Hulu. And like, if you can see Deadpool on Hulu/Disney Plus, we want a Lizzie McGuire reboot, people. That's not more mature than Deadpool, I promise you that. Or Poor Things, like for crying out loud.
Yeah, it would take a lot to kind of out mature Poor Things.
Yeah, what in the world? Give us the Lizzie McGuire reboot that we desperately want.
Yeah.
That's all. End rant.
All right. So let's dive right into Superstar Limo, the very first defunct Disney ride that we're going to be talking about. So this ride, for those of you who are not familiar with it, it opened up in conjunction with the opening of DCA, Disney's California Adventure, and the Hollywood Pictures backlot in February 8th, 2001. It's a dark ride. It was a dark ride. And it was only about 3.5 minutes long. So kind of a very short, very, very simple ride. It kind of came out of the gates missing because in an article, guests were seen to have called it unfunny, instantly dated, and creatively starved. Denver's Rocky Mountain News called it whelming, and they clarified by saying that it is worse than underwhelming, which I thought was kind of funny that they had to do that. It has a really storied history behind it. And it was one of those rides where there was a lot of different sort of renditions and styles before they actually got to what they got to. So again, it opened up February 2001. And essentially the premise of this ride is that guests are the celebrity in a limousine arriving in Hollywood, and they are slowly driven around the city where they encounter a lot of different celebrity figure animatronics. And again, I mean, just it could not have received any worse feedback than it did. So the original concept for this ride actually was that it was going to make riders, it was going to essentially turn riders into celebrities, attempting to evade the paparazzi on a wild high speed chase all throughout Hollywood. And part of it actually, which would have been really, really would have dated it, is that it would have contained video clips of Michael Eisner as his role of CEO or a Disney chairman. At that period of time, and he would have started and ended the ride. And so essentially what was going to happen was that he would have greeted riders as they arrived at LAX, the Los Angeles airport, and remind them that they were yet to sign their big contract with Disney, and he was going to be waiting for them at the Chinese Theater with the contract, but they had to escape the paparazzi first. And so at the end, he would appear and basically tell the riders that they had been caught by the paparazzi cameras, and so therefore their contract was null and void. And then riders had to exit to the gift shop, where tabloid newspapers featured their photographs, basically saying that they washed out of their contract with Disney. So, really, really, really weird.
Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, it's in a way, what's weird too about this ride that kind of caught me was that. You always lose whenever you write it. So like the whole goal is you want to go get your contract to be a big celebrity and Hollywood star, but you end up just losing the ride every time you go on it. So I honestly don't understand like why it would have been, you know, why exactly it would have been very interesting or compelling for people to ride on.
Well, clearly it wasn't.
No, exactly. However, I mean, there was obviously... So evading paparazzi in 2001, you know, it, as this ride was being developed and created, you know, in the late 90s, is there any particular event that you could think of that might have dissuaded Disney Imagineers from moving forward with a high-speed chase from paparazzi?
Well, the very second that you said it was designed originally to be a paparazzi chase, I thought, they could not have gotten away with that in 2001 after our beloved Princess Diana, we lost her in a paparazzi chase.
Precisely, right. I mean, that's it. It just would not have worked out. Obviously, her passing in on August 31st in Paris, 1997, it really caused the Imagineers to have to rethink the ride. They ended up basically taking everything out of it, where they said that Eisner was going to be replaced by a fictional Hollywood agent, and the ride was going to be slowed down immensely. And there was going to be a lot of like visual gags and stuff that were going to be absorbed at high speed, but they no longer made sense with the ride. And so what they ended up doing was putting in celebrity figures to compensate for the change in speed. And so it really kind of fizzled out in a huge way. This episode of the Parks Academy is brought to you by Deep Cut. Deep Cut are makers and purveyors of some of the most incredible record displays and accessories on the market today. Right now, you can check out their pre-sale of their floating record player table. It's the perfect home for your record player setup. This wall-mounted table features a clean look free of messy wires, the beauty of natural hardwood, vibration-dampening design for a better sound, and the small footprint, suitable for any space. Every last detail was considered in the design. Every component is best in breed. From the thick hardwood slab, to the hand-welded brackets, to the powder-coated metal cable management cubby, this is form meets function in the most satisfying way. It's the premium record player shelf that your system deserves. We love these guys, and we cannot say enough about how great their quality stuff is. You can get 10% off your first order with Deep Cut using the code TPA10 at checkout. Check out deepcut.co, and again, use that code TPA10 at checkout. Thank you so much to Deep Cut for sponsoring the Parks Academy and being part of our show. We really appreciate you guys, and we cannot get enough of your stuff. And now, back to the show. One of the things that I thought was so weird was that as they were going, would you like to hear some of the gags that they were going to be doing?
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
All right,
how bad these are going to be.
There's not like a ton of them that have. There's really not a ton of them that go into specifics because obviously it didn't pan out.
Right, they never happened.
But one of the bigger scenes that it was written about was that. Guests would have approached the historic Tale of the Pup of the Hollywood walk-up eatery that's shaped like a giant hot dog in a bun, like giant dog in a bun. You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen that?
Yeah.
And so this really hasn't aged super well. But behind as they're coming up on this area, they see a grotesquely fat man that is dressed in white rhinestone studded jumpsuit. And there was going to be just absolute clear sounds of flatulence. Nice. And then in the frantic and wild style of Mr. Toad, you were going to dart away at the last second only to see that the man, of course, Elvis Presley, was the sound was coming from him squirting mustard onto his hot dog.
It's
like really lowbrow, crappy humor that I just don't think would have really landed.
Right, like who is that joke for?
I don't think anybody.
If I'm on a Disney ride, I don't want to see a mustard fart joke
with like fat Elvis Presley. It's nothing. And it's really nothing. So
bizarre.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, it's really, really, really not good. The other thing too. So they ended up, scrapping all of that, of course. And so what they ended up going with was Superstar Limo that was short and it was slow and it was tucked away with one of the most, grotesque and ugly showcases or like facade in the front. So Superstar Limo essentially, when we looked at it, an image from the front of it. I mean, it absolutely screams cheesy. So it's got like, you've got it's almost like all these buildings are just kind of like stacked on top of each other. So you have something that says Angel's Flight with like a railroad going all the way up to what looks to be like a theater. You got all these weird kind of geometrically off buildings, kind of, you have everything from like, Spanish style architecture to high rises to like Chinese architecture. It's just this weird kind of hodgepodge of buildings. So it's strange. It really is just not a great looking building. And obviously the ride just fell flat. The queue, interestingly enough, I mean, it was full of like, it was almost full of like wooden cutouts. So like there's this one scene when you're walking through, when you're walking directly through the queue where it's a bunch of really gaudy looking luggage that all says LAX on it. And then a bunch of Oscars that are like tied up and bound with brown parcel paper. Of course you had Joan Rivers, a very upsetting looking, almost like a busy town looking, puppet of her on the television, talking and saying that you're Hollywood's newest sensation and you're going to be a big star, bigger than Madonna, bigger than Leonardo. It's strange. And then of course, the limos themselves are like this deep kind of like a red wine purple with a bunch of gaudy gold stars on them and stuff. And again, I mean, it absolutely could not have been more, just dated and kind of ugly in the way that it was all put together. And I never rode this. You obviously didn't, but no. I never rode this thing.
Yeah. It looks like it was designed for old people in the 90s.
Precisely.
Like the whole thing, it is chaotic. It's cluttered. It is very, very dated. Even then, even for 2001, And these celebrities, are you going to talk about which celebrities were chosen?
Because yeah. We're going to go through everything. We're going to go through the whole thing.
World? It's so random. It's so random. And some of these are horrible. They don't even look like them.
So the narrator of this ride, the chauffeur at first, they tell you, you know, that you have to keep your arms, legs, and egos inside the limo at all times. And then a picture phone rings. Like, it's legitimately a picture phone, like how you would have in the 90s, you know, in your car. And then the chauffeur says that there's a collect call from you. It's your agent. And the picture phone rolls up, and it is the sleaziest looking dude. Again, it's another like very strange kind of puppet looking guy with, you know, greasy dude with a fat cigar and his giant chain and his shirt unbuttoned. This dude's name is Swifty LaRue. And when he comes up on the phone, he says, I'm not going to even try to do a greasy voice, but he says, "Swifty here, babe. Welcome to Hollywood. Looking sensational as always." And then he blows you a kiss. And then he says, "Listen, I'll have your contract for you at the premiere, okay? Just get to the Chinese Theater pronto, you hear me? Everyone's waiting, capiche? Now, don't be late, babe." And then he blows you another kiss. So already we've kind of got a little bit of a uncomfortable, a little bit over-friendly uncle.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy.
Named Swifty LaRue. You looking this guy up? Have you seen him?
Oh, I saw him.
Yeah, Swifty LaRue's gross. There's just no two ways about it. So...
this whole thing just starts out on a sour note.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I would venture to say that in 2001, you probably weren't going to be getting the same sort of response about overly familiar talent agents. But it's still sleazy and gross. And
I have two questions. One, why did they choose like a New Yorker guy if this is Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
And two, why did they use a weird puppet animatronic on this video call? Shouldn't they have used a human?
I don't know. It's really not great.
So bad.
So as you're going through this ride, you end up in a lot of different little areas. And the first thing that I want to point out is that, where was it here? So the first thing that shows up is that I want to point out anyway, is that the route that you take throughout this whole ride is very strange. So if you're looking at an actual map of this thing, and I sent it over to you to look at, you basically start in at LAX ground transportation, go through a tunnel, go to Beverly Hills, the Sunset Strip, Bel Air, Malibu, and then you end up at... your premiere in Hollywood, and then you end at Melrose Avenue, which is, I mean, I'm not from LA, but I know enough about it to know that that's one of the most obscure ways to navigate that part of California.
Yeah, they didn't do anything in order at all. And the people that are in each of those areas are so random. There's also... Can we just mention for a second that after you leave Malibu, there's just this random blackout room before you see the paparazzi where there's just like tattoos.
Yeah. Yep.
Just like projections of the most standard tattoos you can think of. Like an old rose with somebody's name on it, or a heart with mom written in it. You know?
Yeah. What?
Who decided that? Who decided that that was fit for a Disney ride?
I don't know. Let me look up the lead Imagineer for Superstar Limo. Oh, somebody has
bless
to.
Bless their heart. Well, while you're looking that up really quickly, you know what this actually reminds
Bruce
me of?
Vaughn. What does it remind you
this
of?
This reminds me of when you go to like the state fair and they bring in a dark ride that you actually get to sit in like a janky little vehicle and maneuver through like one of those really low budget haunted house things where you ride through kind of like Mr. Toad's or something, but the really temporary ones that they set up for the state fair. That's what this ride reminds me of. And this is supposed to be Disney quality. Like, no wonder it only lasted a year.
Not even. We'll get into that.
Right.
So Bruce Vaughn was the co-lead Imagineer on this ride. He looks familiar, and I can't quite pinpoint everything that he's done. But it looks like lately he is the CEO of Dreamscape VR. So he's really into VR. And he was previously the CCE, the chief creative executive for Walt Disney Imagineering. So I was trying to see if he had any other big fumbles in his career, but I'm not really seeing anything that kind of stands out specifically to
well,
me.
Well, good. Hopefully he didn't just Maybe, totally bomb the rest
hopefully,
of his career.
Hopefully he learned his lesson.
Yeah.
So, okay. So where were we? Oh, we were talking about the tattoo room.
We sure were.
Yeah.
The tattoo room.
Super weird. Super weird.
Yeah, what in the world?
All right, so let's kind of go over some of these. So in order, as you're driving through this ride, the first person you run into is Regis Philbin.
Who I recognize because that actually looked kind of like
looks him. Looks just like him. And that's on Rodeo Drive, and he is peeking out from what appears to be a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire type backdrop that looks like it's painted for a children's summer camp. Yep. And he's holding out a bunch of very clearly fake dollar bills.
Yep.
With a silky jacket and a bright blue tie. And then as you continue going, you also run into what the chauffeur refers to as the vivacious Melanie Griffin and dashing Antonio Banderas.
Uh-huh. Yep.
They look terrifying, and they yep. look like they're both holding some kind of a milkshake, perhaps, yep. or maybe not.
And did then not recognize them.
No, I wouldn't have been able to. I would have said maybe that's John Stamos, perhaps. Maybe.
Yeah, no, I did not recognize them.
Well, and the thing that really gets to me is that if you look at this photo, the picture of them, there's like a poor bellhop holding up all of their luggage who's about to tumble over.
This oh, bless
poor guy.
His heart.
Poor fella. This episode of the Parks Academy is brought to you by NeoSabers. NeoSabers make incredible, handcrafted lightsabers that are perfect for any Star Wars fans. Check out these pros. They have strong metal built hilts, heavy-grade polycarbonate blades, technical perfection, clarity of light and sound, perfect for cosplaying, the best option for a saber collection, and they can be totally customized how you want. Check this out. NeoSabers is different from all other sales because they focus on providing high-quality NeoPixel lightsabers that would qualify for either cosplay purposes or even light dueling. Their sabers are priced low and can be guaranteed that their sabers are affordable and totally worth the purchase. You can check out their collection on their website at neosabers.com and check out their various features of their NeoPixel lightsabers. Guys, I have my very own NeoPixel saber, and NeoSabers does it right. I have the Return of the Jedi Luke Skywalker saber, and it is incredible. If I want it to be green and kind of act like it is from the movie, I can totally do that. Or if I'm looking to kind of customize it, have it be, you know, a Sith saber, or maybe, you know, give it a little bit of a different Jedi look with purple, blue, yellow, you name it, I can do all of that. My favorite thing about it, though, is that there's an app that you can use. And with that app, you can customize like how it responds to different attacks. You can set it up to where it has like force lightning, where it has a drag motion. You can use like all kinds of different colors to change it however you want to right within this app. And then there's also customized controls within the blade itself. So you can like press the button a couple different times to change the color, to change the sound or the volume or whatever you want to do. I really cannot speak more highly of NeoSabers and how much we are so happy to be sponsored by them and partnered with them. If you want to buy something from NeoSabers, jump on their website and use the code TPA10 at checkout. This is going to guarantee you 10% off your purchase. And right now, they are running some incredible sales. So go ahead and check out neosabers.com and get your NeoPixel NeoSabers lightsaber today. And now, back to the show. Continuing on kind of through this here, you've got Hollywood beauty Cindy Crawford, the chauffeur's words, not mine. And she's from she's dressed in some kind of a leather skirt and a sparkly top holding I'm not sure what. And maybe it's a bottle of perfume because she's standing in front of a building called Dollars and Sents, S-C-E-N-T-S. And the C has a little, like, the scent, the little scent symbol. And the other thing, too, about this stupid ride is that, like, there's a lot of puns that just don't work at all.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Next up, they run into, on the Sunset Strip, a funny man, Tim Allen, who he's playing at Laughter Shocks, which is a horrible Los Angeles play on Aftershocks.
If you told me you would give me $1,000 if I could guess who that was, I would not have been able to tell you that was Tim Allen.
It doesn't look like him, no. And was this pre or post his arrest?
I have no idea. I did not know he was arrested.
He was arrested in 78. You know about this?
No.
Yeah, he was arrested at the Battle Creek International Airport for possession of cocaine.
Oh, well.
Yeah, no. You've probably seen his mugshot before. He's got his mustache. He's looking good. He's looking crazy.
He looks young.
No, yeah. No, he's 78, man. This was the old days.
Yeah, wow.
For him. So
yeah, how in the world am I supposed to recognize that?
Yeah, it's bad. I don't think it tracks.
It looks more like Seinfeld than it does Tim
Allen. No, it does not look like Jerry Seinfeld.
It doesn't look like either of them, but it looks more like Jerry Seinfeld if I saw this was supposed to be a comedian.
Yeah, I was trying to think. I was trying to put my finger on who I think that looks like, and I can't really think of anyone off the top of my head. Maybe Gary Shandling, maybe?
This whole thing is just
It's tough. So let's just keep cruising through these terrible celebrities here. So moving on, they have Jackie Chan standing up on top of next to like a guitar.
I could not tell who that was watching the ride through video, but looking at the still shot,
you can tell. Looking at the still,
I can tell
mostly because of the pose.
Right, I can tell because of the whole thing. Still.
All right. So we go by Jackie Chan, and then our picture phone rings, and it's Swifty LaRue saying, "Hey, where are you? I repeat, don't be late." And then he audibly says, "Kiss, kiss," and then blows you two more kisses. So thank you, Swifty, for that. We swing into Bel Air, and apparently the streets are paved with royalties and hype. And we go right by Drew Carey, who, for whatever inexplicable reason, is selling maps to Starz Homes. I have zero idea why on earth Drew Carey would be selling maps to Starz Homes.
What was he doing in 2000 other than, like, whose line is it anyway?
Let's see.
Was he doing anything? That's the only thing I know him from.
Drew Carey, 2001. Wheel of Fortune. He had a cameo at WWE in 2001.
Oh. I did actually recognize him.
He had the Drew Carey Show.
The Drew Carey Show? Was it like a comedy sketch show?
I never watched it.
We're terrible pop culture people.
Well, I mean,
from 2001, I was 7 years, I was six.
Yeah, but the number one thing that it's really kind of showing off here is Drew Carey's WWE debut in 2001. So.
Well, you know what? Now he's on The Price is Right, and he does a great job, and he's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, so there you go.
This doesn't even look like him anymore, but I did recognize that this was him, so kudos to that. At least I could tell who it was.
So as you're continuing through this terrible ride after that, as you're exiting out of Bel Air, there's a genie's house, or like Aladdin's house with the genie in front of it, and you hear a bunch of information from sponsors saying, endorse our soda, sell our sneakers, just sign here. There is another, your chauffeur says, pool party, hold your breath now. And there is a, sort of, early 1900s dressed woman with giant floaties and an orange polka dot floatie with Donald Duck's face on it. Really crazy. Super, super upsetting. Swifty LaRue pops back in and says, come on, be Swifty's favorite star now and get here. Gross. The chauffeur then takes you through Malibu, where, quote, where the beautiful people become even more beautiful, is what he says. And then this is the strangest part to me. As you're going through this area, there's a crystal ball, okay? And it says, angels, execs, producers beyond, give us a sign that green light is on, which is a complete ripoff. Well, not ripoff. It's a nod to Madame Leota
right.
in Haunted Mansion. So I don't know why they tried to force that in there.
That doesn't make any sense with the entire plot of this. This is bizarre.
All right. So the chauffeur then takes you and he says, why the always entertaining Cher? Then the chauffeur says, tattoos are all the rage. Shall I ink you in for one? Ink you in for one? Tattoos are all the rage. Shall I? And then it says in quotes, ink you in for one. Like, eke you in for one?
No, I think ink, like, write down your name in ink.
That's no good. So the funny thing about Cher is her eyes are closed, her hand is kind of out, and she's literally wearing fishnet stockings. You see this?
She does actually kind of look like Cher.
Oh, yeah. She looks just like Cher. No question.
But also, she kind of looks like Madame Leota.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they did that on purpose.
I don't know. But are you catching the fishnet stockings?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She kind of looks, the way that she's sort of standing there, just sort of, she kind of looks like, no, I guess it doesn't matter. She just looks like she's, it doesn't. There's a bunch of, I don't want to be rude to Cher. She just looks like she's, working.
Yep.
So then there's paparazzi, you know, look up, say cheese, show us your pearly white, smile for the camera. One, two, yow. Then he falls off his ladder. And then the chauffeur says, everywhere you turn, there are Hollywood studios, which is nothing. You go to the superstar studios and then you do end up in like a kind of like a prop department. Where everyone's yelling at you to read their script, and there's a giant, like, Godzilla leg. This is a little bit rough, but literally, like, the hills are on fire and houses are sliding off of them, so, not great, Hollywood.
Great, love that.
Not great. And then you kind of just start getting to the end here, and it all starts kind of coming to its giant crescendo where... you are at your very own premiere, and Whoopi Goldberg is there at the Chinese Theater ready to greet you, and she says that it's Hollywood's newest sensation, and you know what that means, don't you, baby? You've arrived. And I don't know how many people need to call us baby, but it just continues on. The Maxiplex Theater, where it just says you, which makes zero sense, and they say... as they say in this town, looks like you are big boffo and don't let it go to your head. There's a really upsetting looking soda with enormous ice cubes and some very oddly shaped popcorn. And then it says, now showing you, the story of you at the very end, directed by you. You Productions, YOU. Huh. And everything is all, it sucks. I mean, everything is all about your show, and it's just really bad and poorly thought out. And then as you leave, once again, as you're kind of going through, your phone rings one more time, and Swifty says, congratulations, kid. They love your movie. Wow, you are a superstar. It's big time. Boffo. I see your name in lights. And then he blows you another kiss, and he says, I love you. And then they say, ladies and gentlemen, Hollywood's newest sensation. And the chauffeur ends it out with, don't you look good on camera. Now that's what I call a superstar. Let me grab some popcorn because I know I'll be seeing a lot of you in the movies. Your ride is over. Do you feel like a superstar now?
Good thing it's over.
So,
holy cow.
Yeah, it's a journey. It's a journey.
It's something.
And then... Swifty in the Rue just says he loves us, which I don't know. I guess that's good.
Thanks, Swifty.
I guess that's good.
Thanks, Swifty.
We appreciate it, I guess. He's tough.
He's greasy.
He's greasy.
He's just greasy. That's the only word I have to describe him.
So,
and he's a puppet.
So what are your immediate thoughts on this puppet. Whole thing? I mean, there's so much more to talk about, but what are your kind of immediate sort of feelings?
You know, some of the celebrity choices, Regis was huge in the 90s, early 2000s. Like, mm-hmm. Totally understand that. Tim Allen's got the Disney connection.
Yep.
You know, I totally get that one.
Mm-hmm.
everybody knows who Cher is.
We know Cher, yeah.
And Whoopi was huge in the 90s. So, like, some of these make sense, but I'm just like, were these really the, however many, there are eight most popular, well-known people that they thought kids and adults would all recognize in Disney World or in Disneyland?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who was in the board meeting?
Nobody, man. Asleep at the wheel.
Like, those are my thoughts. And I already shared, you know, it seems like a temporary carnival ride.
So this is without question, probably one of the most controversial rides in all Disney parks. And it was open from February 8th, 2001 to January 11th, 2002. Okay. And it also got, just bear with me on this one, it got shorted a day or two as well, because we know that, like, Disney closed during 9/11, which kind of leads me to think that somebody, because of the way cell phones and everything worked back then, somebody probably heard of 9/11 for the first time getting off of Superstar Limo.
Dude. That is crazy.
Isn't that crazy to think about?
That's crazy.
You know? I mean, just awful, awful stuff. So it shut down, obviously. Fans hated it. It got some of the worst press. It was just absolutely no good. And it just didn't work. Obviously now, as most of us, or all of us, should know, that it was replaced by Monsters, Inc., Mike and Sully to the Rescue, which is a fine ride.
Right. It's fun.
It's fine. You know, it's cool.
It serves its purpose. Kids know Monsters, Inc. Millennials know Monsters, Inc.
So, yeah, it's fine. It's okay. But as before they settled on that, there was actually going to be two other things that they were going to replace it with. So they were actually going to replace it with Goofy's Superstar Limo. That was one of the two concepts.
What? That would have actually been really fun.
Yeah, and so what it was going to do is it was going to replace all the celebrity cameos with Mickey and friends and feature over 100 unique Disney characters.
Why didn't they do that?
Well, because their plan was to actually save money. And they were going to obtain the figures from Disney store locations that sat up on the ceiling.
No.
Yeah. That's 100% what was going to happen.
What the
So
Betsy.
Back in the 90s, in Disney stores, they had these really crazy figures. And they would sit in the windows, too. But they have these little figures that, like, sat up kind of all around the premise, or the whatever it is, the interior of the shops, and it was just a bunch of very kind of weird looking Disney characters. They had like Mickey Mouse and Donald and everyone, and so it was essentially just going to be these really just tragic looking figures that were just going to be standing around and doing absolutely nothing.
Well, Pass. I guess I'm glad they didn't do that.
The second concept would have been Miss Piggy Superstar Limo. And
okay.
It would have focused on the Muppets. And here's the thing about this that actually would have been kind of fascinating is that it was going to basically constantly be, it was basically going to be evolving continuously. And so the idea was proposed is that it was going to give a unique take on installation, and that the ride was actually going to reopen as is, as Superstar Limo. But when every day or however, when, you know, whenever you went into it, it was always going to be a little bit different, and different Muppets were going to be like fixing the ride as you went through it.
What?
So it was going to be like Muppet construction workers working on the new scenes. And over the course of several weeks, the Muppet characters would be replaced by, the Muppet characters would be replaced, and then new figures would show up, and that was kind of going to be the idea until it was finally completed. So they were basically going to say, you guys have a once-in-a-lifetime experience or opportunity to experience, rather, a Disney ride in limbo.
What in the world?
So obviously, that didn't happen, and then we just skip right over to Mike and Sully to the Rescue, which opened January 2006. So there was a 4-year gap where nothing was there. And what's super weird about this is that to save on installation, a lot of Superstar Limo was actually reused and a lot of the figures were reused. And so basically the Los Angeles cityscape was just repainted in the style of the opening credits of the film. And most of the celebrities were just completely redressed as CDA agents. And famously, Regis Philbin was just redressed as Randall Boggs peeking out from behind a door. And I think probably the most disturbing one out of all of these reissues was if you look it up online and you look at Drew Carey as one of the who replaced him, there's a CDA agent literally holding up like little pamphlets or cards, and he has the exact same position. Do you see what I'm looking at?
Oh yeah.
What do you think they did with his head?
What in the world?
Because my guess is they decapitated Drew Carey.
They just
took his head. So the question is, where is his head? That's the number one question I have.
It's somewhere.
Where is his head?
It's somewhere in the Disney storage.
So,
ew.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a handful of these examples. So, I mean, you can look at, like, I mean, there's speculation that Jackie Chan is replaced by, like, a CDA agent, like, propelling from the ceiling. There's just all kinds of stuff. But probably the most egregious, of course, is going to be the Drew Carey one. The other thing too, you know, specifically is that if you look at a side by side comparison, which is interesting because I've watched a side by side of these two rides together, the limousine is the exact same car as the taxi from Monstropolis. The entryway, when you go down, there's like these, it's kind of like this hallway full of bright lights. Nothing there has changed whatsoever. It's the same from Monsters, Inc. to Superstar Limo. Every room is essentially the same. There's really no major changes at all. And so what you kind of end up getting, including the line and the queue, actually. So what you end up getting is just a scraped together version of Superstar Limo, but with Monsters, Inc. instead. And it's pretty bad. And so now we have kind of this strange Avengers campus adjacent ride that sits blank back where Muppet Vision 3D used to exist and a stage and all kinds of stuff. So it's a bad situation, I think. But that's kind of the long and short of it. I mean, like I said, even the queue, I mean, the video screens are the same. They have the same like car phone that's on the side of the taxi that just plays clips from Monsters, Inc.
That's so weird.
So yeah, that's I mean, that's it. Again, unfunny, instantly dated, and creatively starved, this ride.
And really started with a doozy.
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, save the worst for first,
I guess. I have a question for you.
What is your question for me?
If this ride were to have been created in 2024,
mm-hmm.
which celebrities do you think would be on there?
It's a great question. I think you're probably going to see Ryan Seacrest on there.
Well, that's a good one.
More than likely.
There's 10 people.
Okay. Do you want me to give my 10 and then you give your 10?
Sure.
All right. So I'm going to say you got Ryan Seacrest. I'm going to say you got Lady Gaga. I'm going to say you've got Dwayne The Rock Johnson on there. Now, remember, too, Disney's about money, and so I do believe that it would be people who are, you know, kind of Disney legends, sort of.
There's actually only 9. Sorry.
Okay, that's fine. I got 3. I think that you're probably going to see... Lady Gaga, Ryan Seacrest, Dwayne Johnson. I can't really think.
I think we might need to tag team on this.
Okay,
because
who do you think then?
I don't know that I could come up with 9, but I feel like we're talking 2024. Taylor Swift's going to be in there.
Okay, there you go.
Like, there's just no doubt about it.
There you go. Okay, yeah, that's true.
Beyonce?
Yeah, okay, so we got 5.
No, they can't all just be singers.
Yeah.
But I do think you were onto something with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Leonardo DiCaprio, maybe?
Yeah.
You know, Johnny Depp would be on there.
Well, maybe not now.
Why?
Because, you know.
What'd he do?
People feel conflicted about
him. No, didn't Amber Heard poop on his bed?
You have opened a can of worms on this
Didn't she poop on his bed and then throw bottles at him?
You've opened a can of worms.
Well.
I thought he threw the bottles.
I don't know who did what.
I don't know.
That was one of the least interesting things that has ever happened.
I was not paying attention.
But we do know that she pooped on his bed. I believe that she was indicted for that. So, it would just be a bunch of snork celebrities. I can't really think of anyone, like, seriously. But just a flawed ride from the start.
Yeah, weird. Weird. I don't know who else would be on there. There's got to be people like Ryan Seacrest that aren't also just Ryan Seacrest.
Miley Cyrus? No, she wouldn't be on there. No, probably, like, in 2004 or 5, she would have been on there.
No, she wasn't famous yet.
I don't know.
It was, like, 2007 or 8.
Okay.
When Hannah Montana came out.
I honestly don't know. Because it's just a lot of, it was singers and action heroes and game show hosts and stuff.
Well, who's in every movie now?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Who's in, like, every movie other than Dwayne The Rock Johnson? Maybe Ryan Gosling?
There was actually someone who I kept thinking about who's getting work. Margot Robbie's getting a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? That beginning, when there's two people together, it would be Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling. Or Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling.
I mean, let's see. Jessica Chastain's working. Matt Damon.
Scarlett Johansson, maybe.
Scarlett Johansson.
You know what I think?
Oh, come on. Timothy Chalamet would be on there.
Oh, Timothy Chalamet.
Timotei. I had a conversation with my dad last week about Wonka, and he's like, you know, the movie sucked? And I was like, what? And he goes, Wonka. And I was like, no.
We didn't hate that movie.
I was like, Dad, what you got to understand is there's chocolate and there's chocolate. It's like, that's what you need to understand about this whole thing. The movie ruled. He's like, that was a waste of time on the plane. I'm like, no, it was not. I would have watched it twice. So freaking funny.
Yeah, I feel like you think about the jankiest wax museum you've ever been to.
That's this. This is like pure Fisherman's Wharf, San Francisco, crappy wax
but
figures.
Worse, yep. Because they were like cardboard level.
Yeah.
Background.
Precisely.
So bad.
Yeah, really not great. Really not great at all.
Well, hooray.
Yeah, so that's kind of our start with these terrible rides.
I guess my final thought with this is Rock and Roller Coaster came out before this attraction.
Yes.
I think it was 1999. And regardless, it came out before this ride. Why?
July 29th, 1999.
99, right. Why in the world would you take such an incredible ride like Rock and Roller Coaster, make it low budget,
slow.
A worse plot,
yep,
slower, no realistic digital version of celebrities?
Right. I have an answer. There actually is an answer for this, because at one point discussion was that they might bring over Rock and Roller Coaster to California. And the answer to that is that they had no money.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But then just don't make a low-budget version.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because
they had no money. I'm sure it was a space issue. There was probably a lot of
things
that,
money,
that
though,
went with it.
Making a ride or an attraction that didn't even last a full year and people hated.
Yeah, no, I get it.
It's better to not make a crappy ride than to make a ride at all.
I understand. You know, better to have. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. I was on Disney.fandom.com and I kind of got a little bit, I almost said mousetracked, sidetracked. And I found a dual Funko Pop of Mickey Mouse and Jose. Mickey's holding a Dole Whip.
How cute.
Yeah. I'm, yeah, I
that awkwardly long pause was because I had
you had to turn around
my literal body all the way around so I could see Steven's screen.
Yeah, we had to like switch up the way that we are currently doing our podcast setup because we used to like record in our basement and then we recorded at our kitchen table, which was not sustainable. And now we are in my old office, which is kind of now a multi-purpose, nothing goes on in here room. So it's good. It's kind of like our podcast space right now.
It is.
Which is fun. Do you have any final thoughts on Superstar Limo or anything that you would like to talk about with what we're going to be doing in the near future? I mean, I do feel like from my vantage point, I don't want to just put out, you know, like defunct episodes that are rides that are beloved. Like I want to be careful not to just do stuff that just closed down, but like are actually kind of like, what on earth happened to this event?
Right.
It doesn't mean that we can't do, you know, it certainly doesn't mean that we can't go out and do, you know, the Great Movie Ride or anything like that. But I would love to try to stay as close as possible to like rides that are real head scratchers.
Well, yeah, we talked a little bit about some of the ones we were thinking, but yeah, we'll have to see. We'll have to see what we decide on next. We don't want to make any promises or any spoilers. Mm-hmm. You'll just have to listen to our next episode to find out.
There you go. So thank you, everyone, so much for listening to our show. We do really appreciate you guys and your patience as we've kind of figured out our pacing and our way here. Thank you so much to our incredible sponsors, Deep Cut and Neo Sabers, for sponsoring our show and being continually fantastic partners. You can get discounts on their website using the codes TPA10 when you check out. And links for that are in the show notes. If you'd like to follow us on Instagram or on Facebook or YouTube or check out our latest blogs, you can find us very easily at theparksacademypod.com and all of our links are there. And finally, if you would be so inclined to leave us a kind review on Apple Podcasts, that goes a long way and is extraordinarily appreciated. Thanks again so much, and we will catch you next time.